Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK, the live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence.
Joe, so you say, but I doubt it. I know Mark Lawrence, and you're not Mark Lawrence.
I have some classified documents in my closet that indicate that I am Mark Lawrence.
Hey, Joe is dropping them all over the place. I can hardly wait to see EB's outrage. But, oh, wait a second. There's no email from her this morning about how Biden's got classified documents all over the place. Trump at least kept his in one spot.
Well, he's surprised.
Oh, yes, he is. Well, I mean, he was surprised when he found out it was his birthday the other week. So.
Right. So we are writing a book in the U.S. today called Mishandling Classified Documents, and the first two chapters deal with our president and former president, and they're both...
They both need to be spanked.
Heavily footnoted. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. You can text us at 70236. We would love to hear from you. The topic of your selection. It's an open phones day today. It's the last day of Joe McGranahan's retirement shortened week.
Thought you were going to say it's the last day of Joe McGranahan. I thought maybe you knew something I didn't know.
Well... Hey, a guy could dream, you know.
Yes, I know.
Never mind. You're irreplaceable around here.
All right. Tell me another one.
All right. So, our show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Toll-free line open. You can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. Yesterday, after we mentioned that European scientists said we had another warmest year on record, one of our listeners says every year is the warmest year on record, according to the climate alarmists. True scientific measure data proves the claim false every time. And notice how college loan forgiveness plans never include any concessions by the colleges.
Well, they're the beneficiary. They got the money.
Yeah, why would you cut off the branch you're sitting on?
They gave you the education that you can't earn a living with under repay your loans.
All right. And let's see, one of our listeners read that upper right-hand
corner. Tom says, Mike from Bloom keeps calling the show over and over and nothing changes. Insanity. Salivating over this Biden secret records is quite amusing. The difference between the two incidents is startling. Were they planted? Did Biden bring them in or was it someone else? Hey, Tom, guess what? They found more. Joey's dropping these things all over the place. I mean, that's like a trail behind him of classified documents that he's spewing in different locations.
Spewing trail.
Trump at least kept them in one spot, right at Mar-a-Lago, in one room.
Secret them and denied and hid them and lied.
But he kept them in one place.
But they were in one place. Yes, excellent point. Right, his wrongdoing was all kept in one set area. All right, Stan, I guess we're talking about mishandling government documents. What's your view on this pickle?
Sure. So, yeah, NBC reports that they found more.
CBS.
Where did they find those more?
No,
does anybody
NBC.
Know?
In some other office.
Say. It doesn't
they
say.
Said another office associated with him. I don't know what that means.
Well, how many offices does Joey need?
Six.
He has quite a few, apparently.
He has one in Rehoboth.
The first batch was found in the office that's financed by the Chinese communists.
Oh, good.
Exactly.
Oh, brother.
Isn't that convenient?
The other one is Hunter's satellite office. The other one is Laptopville, they call it.
Hunter commented on this in his emails. There's a breaking story this morning that Hunter made reference to this chairmanship of what was it, the Biden Center for Policy and Engagement?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Penn Biden Center.
Penn Biden Center, that's right.
Right, but it has a whole name.
It was a think tank.
Mm-hmm.
How much thinking do you was going on there that they couldn't think that they shouldn't leave classified documents laying around?
They were thinking about making money. That's what they were thinking about. So
right, and the Chinese have been funding Biden for years. So how many of those secrets did the Chinese actually get a hold of? No one will know. possibly. The intelligence agencies may be able to find out, but will they release? Well, they won't release that information, but will anything be done about it?
Stan, we're in trouble.
What's interesting is that yesterday, CBS, which, you know, literally has been part of the mainstream media, I think, for a long time, their reporter, Ed O'Keefe, at the White House, really started clawing at Karine Jean-Pierre over her unwillingness to answer the questions. Biden said at the beginning of his presidency that he was going to make mistakes, but he was going to own up to them, and he was going to ask our help in helping him correct
own
these mistakes.
Own them and fix them.
Right, but he has done none of those things. He doesn't own it. He doesn't fix it. He's surprised when he finds out about it. Amazing.
Right, yeah, and he doesn't know what was in those things. Well, it was his office, in his closet, in his boxes. So who else would have had access to it, and why were they there?
Somebody said there were security briefings.
The difference between him and Trump, okay, as VP, he had no authority to declassify anything. So those were obviously not declassified. Now, Trump had that authority. Now, what was it down in Mar-a-Lago? Were they declassified? Were they not? We don't know, and nobody knows. It says they weren't.
Well, we
okay?
know that. We know that Donald Trump thought about it, and therefore they were declassified.
That's neither here nor there,
Joe.
Oh,
yeah, it's
Joe.
Here, both here
it
and
is what
there.
It is, okay? He had the authority. Whether it was happened or didn't, we don't know. He says it did. I don't know. You don't know. News media doesn't know. So we'll let it sort out on its own.
Well,
but
Biden
had
disagree
none
with,
of that authority, and he wasn't. And he wasn't VP when he was using that office.
You're right about that.
And it was funded
Stan,
by the Chinese.
You're right about that. But here's the problem: the President of the United States has a process to go through to declassify documents. It isn't just waving his hand over them and
Joe,
thinking about it.
Okay, I understand that, Joe. So we ain't going to rehash that because, as I said, we don't know. We only know what Trump has told us. Okay, so I'm not going to argue that with you. It may or may not have been. So it is what it is. But we do know that Biden didn't have that authority in any regards, correct?
True. I won't argue that point with you.
Okay. So that's neither here nor there. So how much, when is the FBI raids going to happen? When is a special counsel going to be named? And when is Merrick Garland going to step aside so the special counsel can do its job to investigate why these classified documents were in the possession of Joe Biden?
I have your answers.
You do?
Never.
I know that, Mark.
No,
I fully understand that.
I got you.
Okay. That was just a question out there to the lefties like E.B. and Tom. When, Tom? When, E.B.? I want to hear the answer and your excuses for it. See, I didn't make excuses for Trump. It is what it is down there, and he'll have to pay a price if anything was done illegally.
Mishandling.
But they seem to make excuses for him, for Biden.
Right. It's all mishandling, whatever you call it.
One more thing, and it'll be quick.
Okay.
How on earth, in the House yesterday, I think it was yesterday, they had a vote about, I'm not sure exactly what it was called, but basically it was, if during an abortion a baby is born alive, that the doctors have to treat it as a patient.
Yes, that's true.
That all the Democrats but two voted against it. One voted for it, one didn't vote, they abstained or voted present. Now, the evilness of that alone is pretty disgusting, in my opinion. Okay, if a baby is laying there alive on a table, after they tried to kill it, and the doctors don't treat it, you want to talk about pure evil, right there it is.
All right, we got you. All right, thank
you
so much.
Yeah, I was surprised that the Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer came out as strongly against it as they did. I mean, it seems to me that if they botch a late-term abortion, and I think these were late-term abortions, if they botch it, somebody should be responsible for saving the life of that child. It's like saying if somebody got run over because they walked out in the middle of the street, we don't try to save them. It wasn't their fault.
All right. We got you, right. Stan. Thank you so much, sir. Good points all.
Have a good
much
one.
Appreciate. Yep.
Yep.
You
Take
too.
Take care,
Mike. Last caller before a quickie break. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hey. I want to be called Insane Mike from Bloomsburg today. That was the first tag I got that one on me. But anyway, hey, Joe, I'm going to rely on you for this. I was reading yesterday that when Dwight David Eisenhower came out of office there, his last day, he had to give a speech. And he warned America about the military-industrial complex. And at the time, I was just a little kid living in the shadow of the Cold War, so I didn't know what he was talking about, and I still don't today. But I'm sure you do. Could you just tell me briefly what he was warning us about?
He was talking about the fact that industrialists depended upon military contracts to survive, and therefore the goal was to produce as much military spending as possible, make these corporations as strong as possible, and of course they had a vested interest in making sure that the military got funded simply because they made more money.
Lobby and elect is
lobbying,
the other
aspect of it.
In other words, we needed war to keep them in business.
Not necessarily war, just
the threat of war.
Yeah,
the threat of war.
Okay, just the threat of war. Well, I'm wondering, you know, that's pretty insightful, I would say, on his part. And, you know, he's been going a long time now, but I'm just wondering if we could just resurrect him out of the ground and someone would get him up to speed, you know, he would review things, what's going on here in the United States. How do you think he would sound the warning today? What do you think Eisenhower, who, you know, even my friends on the left, they say Eisenhower was a great guy, you know, and he was a Republican. So what do you think Eisenhower would say about the country today, the direction it's heading in?
Well, as a military man, I think he'd have one view. As a past president, he probably would have another. From a military standpoint, I don't think he would be in favor of all of the woke experimentation going on in the military. I don't think he'd like that at all. I mean, the primary function of the military is to defend the country in times of trouble, and they need to be strong and they need to be unified, not a social petri dish trying to come up with what best woke policies there could be in the military. As a past president, I think he would continue to renew his concern over the fact that we are building a military system fraught in some cases with waste and extravagance, but on the other hand, I think he would want us to maintain a strong military, but he'd want us, I think, to examine every dollar we spend on it to make sure that it's exactly the right dollar spent at exactly the right place.
And for its intended purpose.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yep.
Yeah. I believe that too. And, you know, I'm going to switch subjects here real quick. The border is an issue now. Like your guy on there, I believe it was 2 days ago, you know, talked about Trump going to the border versus Biden going to the border. But I want to take you back about 2.5 years ago. I was listening to a man on the ground at the particular time down in Panama or Colombia. I'm not sure exactly which country he was in. And the migrants were just hanging around, waiting. And he talked to them, and he said, hey, do you expect to get to the country? And they said, well, it just depends who wins the election. And then a little bit later, after the election, he would ask the same people, the same clientele, basically, not the same people, do you expect to get in the United States? And they said, oh, yeah. And he said, why? He says, well, because Joe Biden said the border's open. Come. And, you know, and so what I want to know is if the people in South America knew that if Biden got elected, they were coming, they got the word from somewhere, and now they're coming, and we have a mayor of one of the greatest cities in the country, New York City, basically declaring an emergency, asking for $1 billion because his systems, you know, the social systems are being overrun by illegal aliens. So what are the Democrats gaining by this? Because I don't believe there's any argument about it. They believe in open borders, and New York is in a crisis, so says the mayor. And I think many other places that along the border, especially in a crisis, and we haven't even talked about fentanyl. So, Democrats, what do we have to gain by open borders? That's all I want to know.
Good luck.
You can call me insane. I don't care. I just want to know why you think this is a good idea.
Good luck with getting an answer.
The borders aren't open. They certainly are way too porous. There's no argument there. And Democrats now are in charge and haven't done anything. But it's not just Democrats. It's Republicans over the past 2 decades. Ever since Eisenhower, we've had an illegal immigration issue and border problems. And no one solved it up to now. So absolutely, Democrats should look in the mirror and say, what are we going to get from this?
Donald Trump solved it.
Oh, he 100% solved it. It was done. We were over. The wall was finished and the funding was there and
he was
Border Patrol was there and we had sealed off the whole U.S. on all the borders?
He was trying to finish it. He was asking for the money. How many times did he ask for the money? He finally had to take it from the military and the left went nuts. Oh, he's stripping our military. He was trying to the last day in his office to secure the border.
I didn't realize that he had solved the issue, but you say yes. I'll have to trust your opinion on that.
He had the solution. Let me put it this way.
No,
he had the solution.
There.
He lacked the funding.
Right.
But, if he'd had the funding, he had the solution.
Right, Joe. It's very short-sighted to say it was solved, so rescind that. Because
no,
that's
I'm not. Because he had, he had the plan.
It's not solved.
He had the plan to solve it.
So the Canadian-U.S. border was sealed off, too, and Customs was active on all the ports as well?
He had the plan. He did not have the funding.
So if I come to you with, Joe, I'm going to double the revenue at the radio station, I have a plan, you go ahead and buy six new vehicles here because we've solved the revenue problem?
That's a poor analogy.
Well, it's an exact analogy.
No, it's not.
He had a plan, very little of it implemented, but you say that solved the problem.
He implemented every bit of it he could.
Okay,
let's look at what he did with respect to closing
the
Mexican borders. Did what he could to solve the problem.
I'll stipulate that he solved the problem.
Thank you.
It's a stupid argument, but that's fine. Go ahead, Mike. You got the floor.
If we can revisit today, we have millions of people coming across the border, more than has ever come. We've got a fentanyl problem. That is the crisis at hand. We can talk about the past, but the present is what we need. We have a city in New York that says they're in crisis. We have I don't know if you saw the consumer price numbers that came out today, but they said food went up, and that was unexpected. So maybe down the road, with millions of people coming in, and the cutbacks in fertilizer around the world, and the migrants coming in, maybe we're going to have a food crisis here. So I'm looking down the road, but I'm really looking at today. What are we going to do about the border? How long is it going to be before things get so bad, before this country decides to react?
That's my position. Well, despite the fact that Mark disagrees with me on this, I think that having the plan is important. Joe Biden has not shown any plan.
You won.
No, but seriously, think about it for a minute. Biden has shown no plan to
do anything
at the border.
Thanks for calling.
Donald Trump at least had a plan.
Gotcha. No argument there.
He
and if you think that's the same as solving a problem, that's fine.
If I have the solution to your problem and I give it to you, but you can't afford to implement it, I've solved your problem. You just haven't had the wherewithal to do with anything about it.
You won. No argument there.
Thank you.
The problem was solved. Dale, you're going to be able to talk about one issue that's been solved in the U.S. and then unsolved. I'm assuming
the
current president unsolved it.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. All right, that's silly. All right, the Comedy Hour continues momentarily.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Brilliance.
We're talking about legacy journalists.
Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. This relates to a CBS reporter that gave
Jean-Pierre yesterday. Yeah, the CBS News reporter, Ed O'Keefe, cited a comment Biden made in the early days of his presidency when he said, "I'm going to make mistakes. When I make them, I'll acknowledge them and I'll tell you, and I'll need your help to help me correct them." And Ed O'Keefe said to Corinne Jean-Pierre, so you're the one here talking to us about this document dump all over the place. That's my quote, not his. That's why we're asking you, so let's just remember that. To which Corinne Jean-Pierre reported, Ed, we don't need to have this. We work very well together, Jean-Pierre interrupted. We don't need to have this kind of confrontation. Ask your questions and I will answer them the best I can.
We don't have to have an adversarial media. It's us.
It is.
You're supposed to be on our side.
You're on our side, Ed. Why are you asking me tough questions that I can't answer won't answer?
And then my subsequent comment to you, what did they say about Johnson and Cronkite in the Vietnam War?
President Lyndon Johnson said after Walter Cronkite did a series of reports on the Vietnam War, if we've lost Cronkite, we've lost the nation.
So if Biden has lost CBS,
he's lost the nation.
All right. Well, he lost me a long time ago. I mean, I certainly will argue in favor of some Democratic policies and some accomplishments and things like that, although all at the expense of our great-grandchildren. But nonetheless...
Well, she tried to deflect by accusing him of being contentious. He wasn't. He was asking tough questions based on what Joe Biden said he would do and how he would behave.
His job, but he's been remiss in his job for oh so long. But in any event...
Ed O'Keefe?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
also, always CBS. And this idea that they're finally going against Trump or against Biden is, a nuance. It's within the past 6 months or so that they're giving them the one for. But that's
when somebody wakes up who's been asleep and realizes that the house is on fire.
Better to wake up than to sleep forever. Yeah, good point. We'll give them that much. All right, Dale, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, when a business or a corporation decides to go with new management, why do you think that is?
I would suspect there are many reasons.
New management?
Dale. Probably
maybe
that the prior management failed in some regard.
Okay, well, I think that July 4th is going to be new management. And starting very soon, you're going to see the great retirement and the great average. Everybody's going to resign. What's happening is management, everybody understands that the management destroyed the country, destroyed everything. On both sides, it don't matter what side you're on. Their credibility is in the trash. So I think people need to embrace the new. The new is going to be better.
Okay.
Been working on this for 26 years. BlackRock's been working on this for 26 years. And you're going to see all the dirty people hide and run. And that money that they hid is basically they hid it in the wrong spot. And that all that money is going to be accounted for. I just tell you, July 4th is going to be a beautiful one. Before that happens, you're going to see a lot of retirements and all like that. Like, BlackRock has $20 trillion. What's not expendable if you have $20 trillion?
I don't know.
Well, you got us on that one. Didn't take long.
Well, everything's expendable. Everything. It doesn't matter. They own all the media. They own they own FBI, CIA. It's under new management. Done. The Bar Association destroyed our country.
The Bar Association.
I knew it.
Under new management. So I just want to give people a heads up. Don't all your hopes. If you ain't willing, willing's an actual word. If you ain't willing, you're going to be left in the dust. And that's the way it should be. All these entitlements and all this stuff here is out of hand. It's done. We're going to have a great new world coming. That's why we bring in people who are willing in this country. Okay? So, I just want to tell you.
I think we should turn the country over to the Bar Association, Dale. They know what they're doing.
I turn it over.
They know what they're doing.
The whole country. They're all selfish people. I mean, not personally, but I'm talking about running the country. They destroyed every aspect of government. They didn't.
How did the Bar Association destroy every aspect of government? I would challenge you to give me an example of that.
They enforce laws which they don't obey.
They don't enforce laws at all. The Bar Association doesn't enforce laws. They have no governmental function.
They're profiteers. They're profiteers for everything. So they're done. They're done, Joe. They're done. They new management. We're done. Done.
Okay, we got you. This is a perfect stepping off point. Thank you, Dale.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You have
very much
the Twilight Zone.
Anything else?
Apparently
not. I guess not. All right. Eric, you're on the mark. You get a couple minutes.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Joe, before you start saying about President Eisenhower not using the military as a petri dish for change, let's look at history, shall we? He was one of the driving forces behind one of the greatest social changes in the military
Started with Harry Truman. Harry Truman was the president in 1948, not Dwight Eisenhower.
I understand. But who do you think implemented it?
Well, the United States military implemented, you're talking about desegregation of the armed forces, which I guarantee you is far different than allowing transgender soldiers or being woke policies or having, what is it they're trying to do now? They're trying to, inclusion, equity, and all this stuff. You know, the military is a tough group, and they should be a tough group. And if you get in there, you should be willing to take toughness. I mean, they don't say, would you please run a 10-mile course for me. They tell you to get out there and do it. You know, you need to take orders.
But what I'm saying is, I'm coming after your blanket statement. I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing that there's some things that's being micromanaged and so forth. But the acceptance of gay soldiers is.
I don't have any problem with gay soldiers. You know, they've come in. They're willing to fight for their country. They love their country.
Right. We've always had gay soldiers.
We've always had them, right? Whether we knew it or not, we had them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, I'll point out that. Well, hold on. Let's continue the discussion after the news.
All right.
Hold on.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've cured all known diseases and fed the poor and solved the nation's immigration problems. And Eric's got the U.S. military in his sights, and he's going to fix them, too. So we're grateful for that. So he's holding on. And we have news headlines coming up. But first, CBS News. We'll have open phones during the 9 a.m. hour. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence.
That chokes me up, too, when I hear that. I'm Mark Lawrence.
Are you okay, buddy? Okay.
I'm Joe McGranahan.
Is there something you want to say to our audience since you have the speaking ability?
Yes, I would love to say that On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com. It's an open phones day here on the Mark. That means our toll-free line is open. Call us at 1-800-795-9565 or email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And you, because Mark is here today and willing to do the 27 keystrokes necessary to bring it up, you can text us at 70236. Let's see. And be sure to include the keyword OTM at the start of your message or it won't get through to us.
Actually, there's no keystrokes. It's all mouse clicks.
Oh, whatever.
But there are 27. You're right about that. I counted them. Eric, you're on the mark. You can wrap up your good conversation.
Okay. So we were talking about Joe calls the petri dish of the military. Actually, the military has to reflect, I think, broader American society for inclusion and expectation that everyone will serve the country. Joe, I'm going to agree with you. The part about, you know, people who are who go in the military just for the medical benefits and then immediately say, I need to transgender and change. And no, that's not the mission of the military, but it is to be opening and welcoming to any patriotic American who wishes to serve.
That's not true.
Agree, historically, it has not been.
That's not true because there are qualifications. You have to have certain mental qualifications and you have to have certain physical qualifications. We don't welcome people who can't physically or emotionally or mentally fight. We don't allow that. We don't bring them in. And
agreed,
so anytime
but
that they're compromised.
We have, in the past, excluded a large number of people.
Who did we exclude?
Anybody, don't you remember? A woman was able to graduate from the United States Military Academy.
Hey, we had women in the Civil War who fought in the Civil War. They dressed
you're
like men.
You're not answering my
question. Well, women graduate from
West
Point.
What year was the first year we had? Okay, let's double down. What was the first year we had the first black woman graduate from West Point?
I think 67 or 68.
1980.
Really? That long? Yeah, surprised.
1980. because although the women could serve in the military, they were not allowed to serve in the upper echelon of the general military. They were allowed to be nurses. I think we had generals and so forth in the nursing corps. But in the general population of the and graduate, 1980 was the first time a woman of color graduated from West Point. And it was just before that that probably any woman graduated, because they weren't allowed in the military academy, as they weren't they felt they could not raise the highest level of command, which what the military academies are all about, right? So
okay. Hello? Yeah, we're listening okay. to you.
So what I'm saying is the military would continue to evolve. Now, Mark, you said I'm taking on the military. I'm not. I think we have a lot of very wise people. And again, and Joe, I'm going to agree with you again. We have to have people who are able to fight, okay? But to say people who are able and qualified except for a certain reason because of bias or discrimination, we are continuing to evolve.
Well, you need people that can fight in a wide variety of ways, though. You may not necessarily be as physically able, but a lot of the fighting is done remotely by drones, so you have to have awful big brain and super sharp reflexes.
But you also have to go through basic training, and basic training is not for wimps. It's difficult.
That's
it's
right.
tough.
Mm-hmm. And you have to be willing to accept orders. Right.
Right.
You have to, there's a certain molding as occurs as you go through this. And I agree that the people have to then... If you join the military, you have to then be willing to accept the commands of those over top of you, right? But on a broad basis, say that the military is not a petri dish of broader society, I don't think you can make that generalized statement.
I think you can, because, you know, society includes children. It includes infants. They're not going to be in the military. You can't say it has to reflect society as a whole.
Well, it has to reflect society who are of adult fighting age and fighting wherewithal. The goal is to be representative of the nation as a whole when it comes to adults, not kids or people who can't fight. It doesn't have to be representative of people who have no ability to fight.
I think it was General Chesty Puller from the Marine Corps who said this. I may be wrong, but he said the world's toughest fighting machine is a 19-year-old PO'd Marine.
Yeah, I think you already said that, with an M1 Garand in his hand. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what the military should be.
General Puller or Colonel Puller, amazing career.
All right. Thank you so much, Eric.
But
anything else?
Again, without change, which governor, the general, and then President Eisenhower implemented. It wasn't until General Eisenhower became President Eisenhower in the mid-50s that the actual desegregation in the military occurred. In 1948, you were correct, Joe, that President Truman wrote the executive order, but it was lackluster implemented, as all the commanders said, oh, we can't do that now, we're fighting the Cold War. We can't do it now, we're fighting the Korean War. Well, finally, it was General, then President Eisenhower said, you know what, this is the executive order, you will implement it, and the military was finally fully desegregated under his presidency in the mid-1950s.
Noted. All right. Thank you so much, Eric. Thanks for
calling
in.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate the discourse.
Really appreciate it. All right. 1-800-795-9565. The topic of your selection. We talked about the mishandling of classified documents by President Biden, the latest president accused of not taking good care of the nation's secrets. 1-800.
Oh, he's taking good care of them. He's taking good care of them all over the country. They're everywhere. All
well,
of our secrets.
There you go. Well, that's mishandling. Like I said, yeah, the book that we're writing, the history book we're writing, is called Mishandling Documents, and two presidents lately are prominently featured.
Yes.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Sunbury Motor Company is our sponsor. The number of hospitalizations associated with COVID-19 went down in the past week, almost down by as much as it had gone up the week before. State Department of Health reported late Wednesday, coronavirus hospitalization declined by 180. It had gone up 200 the week before. While students at Commonwealth University at Bloomsburg finish up winter break, campus and local law enforcement have finished training in active shooter training on campus. Former Bloomsburg Police Chief Leo Sokolowski is director of Commonwealth University Police.
We will take care of their loved ones as if they were our own children. That we practice, we train, we're a professional law enforcement organization, we're accredited law enforcement agency, that we take public safety very serious.
You can read lots more about this active shooter training at WKOK.com. Shamokin Dam police looking for an unidentified male after an incident at a restaurant 2 weeks ago. Police say a man was patronizing a Mexican restaurant when he kicked the front exterior door, broke it, and walked out. You can see a photograph of him at WKOK.com and on our Facebook page. They're looking for him. State Senate has passed a bill comprised of three proposed constitutional amendments, including one which would provide relief for adult survivors of child sexual abuse in cases where the statute of limitations has run out. Our correspondent Mark Sims has the latest.
Democratic senators say they support the statute of limitations amendment, but most voted against the bill because they oppose proposed constitutional amendments dealing with voter identification and legislative review of regulations included in the legislation. Senator Katie Muth is concerned the bundling of proposed amendments into one bill will ultimately hurt survivors of childhood sexual abuse.
Their trust in government is just absolutely being decimated because it is known to them that this likely will not run in the House of Representatives, and this again will fail to make it to the ballot.
The House must approve the bill by January 27th in order for the proposed constitutional amendments to get on the May primary ballot. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Some other updates from Harrisburg. The Center Square is reporting after a state court ruled that Philadelphia DA Larry Krasner's time in office did not constitute misbehavior. The state Senate has voted for an indefinite delay of his impeachment trial. State senators voted 28-20 Monday to delay an impeachment indefinitely while readopting the rules of impeachment. Commonwealth Court had ruled that he didn't have a corrupt motive behind all of his many, many misdeeds. So since he didn't do so corruptly, it's not illegal. It's just what?
Incompetence,
yes,
apparently,
right,
isn't a crime.
But it's not illegal corruption, and so therefore the impeachment can't go forward. I mean, that's basically what they said. I hate to be so frank about it, but that's it.
You're right. That's exactly what they
said. AP reporting the state Senate Wednesday voted to undo an automatic wholesale gasoline tax increase in Pennsylvania that already went into effect. They sent the bill to the House of Representatives, where, of course, they're paralyzed because of their inability to agree on various things. Some other things are in the news. Maybe President Biden will forgive this. The country's public schools are facing a new financial crisis. A new study found that school districts across the U.S. are swamped by unpaid student lunch debt. It increased a lot after the Fed stopped providing free meals to all the public school students 3 months ago. They started giving the free lunch hookup during the pandemic. In one district, the unpaid balance for school meals is nearly $2 million in one district. And who knows what it is nationally. It's funny, they did a study, but it doesn't say what the national amount is. And finally, as we've been talking about, another batch of Joe Biden classified documents have been mishandled, were found. CBS News has learned that the documents from Joe Biden's tenure as vice president were discovered at least one undisclosed additional location. CBS News' Adriana Diaz has the very latest.
Spoke to a former U.S. attorney who told us that more documents being discovered doesn't necessarily increase the likelihood of intent. And intent here is key because he said it could possibly just be additional examples of sloppy staff work. So what investigators are doing, Justice Department officials that are reviewing this case are really looking at whether or not this was on purpose as part of their review.
Didn't we just do this? Didn't the DA just go through this?
Isn't that interesting?
It's not corrupt. It's just
the intent is a concern here. But they didn't ask what the intent was with Trump. It's horrible. He's done a terrible thing. He's ruined the...
Well, didn't he impede that investigation along the way?
Yeah, he may well have done that. I mean, he certainly... But if you're claiming you have the right to the documents, I mean, that's why I asked the question I did of our guest the other day. What does a past president have a right to take with him? Anything? If he writes a note out to his wife saying, I'm going to bring eggs home for dinner tonight, does that have to go to the National Archives?
Mm-hmm. I think so. If you do it on White House stationery and you leave it in the White House. White House, of course, as Joe has pointed out, declined to address this, even with mainstream media yesterday, reporters dogging the president on this topic. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for patience. Go right ahead.
Hey there. Before I get on to what I really called.
Can you go on the live phone instead of speakerphone? We can hardly hear you.
Problem is, without the speakerphone, I can't hear you.
You can't talk on the phone and hear us?
You can't hear us?
I see barely. I'll wait.
Now we can hear you better now. Okay.
Okay, we'll try it this way.
Well, yep, that sounds better. Works. Yep, that works.
Okay, now I can barely hear you in the background.
We'll speak up.
You hear me good, though.
Good morning, Lance.
Okay, all right. Now,
we're talking about the
price of eggs, right?
No.
The other day,
yeah, okay.
Just a quickie, okay? The price of eggs had gone up to $28.70, like college tuition, like Bucknell. They'd be $19.70 a dozen.
Hmm.
That 70 cents went up 28 times. So, also, we were talking about old Comrade Cronkite, I like to call him. He had all the awards, that's for sure. Why? What he was basing that on was the Tet Offensive. And during the Tet Offensive, there was only one little town taken, and 135,000 of the invaders were killed, and the South lost about 14,000. Once they figured out what was going on, why they really got rid of them, that's for sure. But every time the television showed what was going on, they saw the hamlet that was being overrun. So that's, you know, he was never what everybody thought he was. Now, we talk about Putin.
It's your dime. Go ahead.
Well, I don't see how you ever could disagree with me, though.
Well, very easily. You're wrong. That's why.
There you go.
Okay. From where I sit, I mean, we'll take a look at the Tet Offensive. Just one thing. One thing.
His reporting was based on far more than just the Tet Offensive. He didn't even go to Vietnam until after that was over.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He didn't even know what happened.
Well, that was the whole point. The war was raging on, and Walter Cronkite went there to find out for himself. And he interviewed many people. He saw many different places of action. He toured the country. He came back with the opinion that we were in a war we couldn't win and that we were wasting American lives, and he said so on the air.
Okay. That's it. But anyway, Putin's new tact is to be the champion of traditional values. Now, what he said is that we're out to destroy the decadent and decaying West. And that, I kind of tried to synthesize this. And the thing I come up with, because of the fact they were really clamping down on the gay community, we must do everything to defend those who want to win a normal hetero life. Everything else is sin, sodomy, and darkness. Now that kind of takes me aback a little bit, and we got to watch ourselves here that something here doesn't decay into that. And the fellow who was that Victor Bount, that the arms dealer that was traded, you know, for the basketball player, when his first time he was on the television, he really had a rant against gay folks and about, 72 genders first graders are being taught. Can you imagine that, you know? And the Kremlin is the only people that can rescue the world from degradation and moral decay. So this is the folks over there that are backing him, backing Putin. You often wonder, how do they get folks to fight in this war, right? Well, that's it. They think that the Ukrainians have sided in with the West, and pretty soon they're going to, well, they do now. They just passed it so they can have gay marriage and that kind of thing. And he's really got everybody up in arms about it. So, in case you wonder, that's what the whole deal is, and that we ought to really watch ourselves. I mean, I saw, you know, some of this stuff is kind of like looking in the mirror, and I think, whoa, wait a minute. But then, didn't that be mustachioed billboard paper hanger do that too?
I assume you're speaking of Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
Or Mussolini.
Wasn't he the champion of the home and the hearth there?
Well, supposedly.
Yeah. So this is something that folks need to watch themselves for, unless it takes hold. And that's what gave the German army the fighting spirit that it did have.
Well, unfortunately, when you speak of his wallpaper hanging days, it was the name Schicklgruber.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of funny.
I always liked George Patton calling him that wallpaper hanging SOB. And George Patton didn't use SOB. He said the words.
Was he a Schicklgruber?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when they asked him about those those ivory-handled Colts that he carried.
Yeah, he said they're not ivory, they're pearl. It was pearl. They called pearl. It was ivory.
Right, it was ivory.
And he said he said some unkind things about people who were less than masculine when referring to, he said, pearl. He wouldn't have had pearl. It was ivory.
Yeah, it was something like only a pimp in a Louisiana body house would have a pearl handle.
That sounds right. Yeah, that sounds right. We can agree on that. Thank you, Lance.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. Much appreciated. All right. 1-800-795-9565. I got to hit the break. We're going to do that. We got a face full of emails and texts, so we're going to read those on the radio when we return. We would invite you to call us, 1-800-795-9565, if you want to dispute the Schicklgruber name.
Wallpaper. Schicklgruber's wallpaper.
Right. If you want to dispute that, actually, it means money grubber if you do a direct translation. Because Gruber would be grabbing and money is shekel. So it would be money grubber, not wallpaper hanger. But that's just Lawrence's...
He was hanging wallpaper.
...Dutch version of it. But anyway, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Text us at 70236 and include the keyword OTM. We're talking about President Biden mishandling classified documents. Of course, he joins a long line of presidents who have done that. And price of eggs and Walter Cronkite.
Just for clarity, so you know.
Please.
Schicklgruber was Adolf Hitler's father's name, but he shortened it to Hitler.
I got you.
Okay.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. I gather that much from your conversation.
Okay.
I'm just saying Schicklgruber doesn't mean wallpaper hanger. Sorry.
No, that's what he hung wallpaper.
That was his occupation.
They called him that he was hanging wallpaper. He was also a failed artist in Vienna as well. So
who knew?
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. A lot of folks have waited a long time to hear these things read out loud, so please.
Yes, Tom says, have you clowns ever considered changing the name of the show to Santos and Company? It would be hard to tell the difference. No, we're going to call it Biden and Company because we're going to be spewing documents all over the floor.
Okay.
Secret documents.
Well, Trump puts them on the floor. Biden puts them in boxes, apparently.
That's true, and then leaves them all over the place.
Right.
And then another writer says, I would like to go on record to say 10 years from now, when the FBI or the Department of Justice is asked about Hunter's laptop or Joe's documents, the response will be, we can't comment on an ongoing investigation. You're probably right.
All right. Let me see if I can get to something. Oh, do a text. Go ahead.
All right. And a text. Let's see. Laughing out loud, the former DOJ official saying there was no bad intent on Biden's part. Let the deflecting begin. And so the Dems and the state Senate oppose a constitutional amendment to help the sexually abused because of a voter ID provision. Why are they afraid of CQ? Securing?
The
I don't know.
Securing elections?
That probably is. Why are they afraid of securing elections?
150 characters limit.
Right. Well, when we stop, you run out of words.
But we can figure out where you're headed.
Well, we try to. And the military was instituted for one thing, to protect the nation. Their primary job is to destroy and kill the enemy, not a social Petri dish.
Okay.
And you know the reason news about Biden's classified documents is coming out now is to get ahead of Republicans' House investigations. And Dale isn't wrong that lawyers are profiteers. Look at any class action lawsuit advertised. The lawyers are the only ones making money, not the injured.
Oh, the injured make money, too. The fact they make the most
of
it.
Yeah, because the attorneys can only get a percentage of what it is they get for the people who have been hurt.
So the attorneys make a living suing.
God forbid an attorney would make a living.
Dan, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good morning, guys, and thanks for taking my call. Why, you're talking about the borders earlier there. And now, the previous administration had the borders mostly under control. They needed some improvements. You wonder why the new administration would come in and deliberately stop building them walls and completely turn things on its head. Why would they do that? There's no rhyme and reason, and they're not that stupid to change things. Why would they?
Democratic voters.
You know what I think it is?
What is it, Dan?
It's old Karl Marx.
Oh,
it's
socialism.
Marxism again, raising its ugly head. They do not want sovereign borders that are under control, and that's one of the things Marx and Engels said you can't have. So they didn't believe in borders. We were all one. We were supposed to be all one group under Marxism, and that's one of the Marxist agendas: open borders. Another thing they had was family. They didn't believe in strong families. Your family was a party, voluntary party, and they're working hard to destroy families, the family unit, and government control. They learned they can control us. Look at these last couple years. And
yeah.
Why would anybody have policies that deliberately ran in the face of free enterprise and what we stand for? Everything the Biden administration does flies in the face of free enterprise. Look at our economic system. Look at the price of gas and fuel. That didn't have to be.
Oh,
I don't
right.
have to be this way.
You're right. It doesn't have to be this way, but it is.
And yeah, they know what they're doing, Joe. They know exactly what they're doing. They're turning this country on its head. We can't be the sovereign nation anymore. We don't deserve it. We need to get in with the world of communism and socialism. We don't deserve to live like this. I don't deserve what I have. I should bow down to my government. They should be the sovereign. They're smarter than I am. And this is what's going on in America. We're soon, it keeps going, and we don't get a different type of president. If we don't get a Trump-like, Trump's agenda-type president, which I don't see anybody out there that can do what he did. We're just keep going down until we're all little Chinese here, is what this is coming to. And it's coming fast. The Chinese are putting their hands around the throat of Taiwan every day. They're encroaching closer and closer. And once they stop the flow of material from Taiwan, we're gonna really be in deep trouble here. We get most of our chips from Taiwan, or especially the complicated chips, the ones that we need for iPhones, cars, etc. And they're moving in every day. And what are we going to do about it?
Well, there's not much we can do about it, is there?
That's it.
Between elections.
Biden,
between elections.
We know nothing's going to be done. Under the Trump administration, there was hope. Under this administration, there's no hope. It's deliberate. And I don't know if you guys see it coming or not. I can't, you know. It's no conspiracy theory. You just look what's going on around us, and it's obvious. No administration would stop the wall unless they deliberately wanted thousands and millions coming in here undocumented and to ruin the American free enterprise system that most of us grew up with and appreciated.
I don't know that's their goal, but I do think what the greatest disservice the Biden administration has done with this open border policy, and I'll call it that whether they like it or not, is to destroy the hope of those people who have legitimately tried to apply for admittance to the United States of America, who have something to contribute, who have something to benefit to bring to this country. We've left them out in the cold. We've said,
right.
You know, you're not as important to us as these people. We're going to bring these people who break our laws. We're going to put them up in $500 a night hotels in New York City. We're going to feed them. We're going to give them cell phones. We're going to turn them loose all over the country.
Refugees have zero value. That's an excellent point. We got to get to that.
They're not refugees.
No, they're not asylum seekers?
They haven't done it the proper way. There are ways to seek asylum, Mark, as you well know.
Right. There's a proper way.
Exactly.
And President Trump solved it. I got you. Okay.
He did solve it.
Words matter. All right. We got you, Dan. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Exactly. And we need to bring people. When you heard how the birth rate's falling in the United States, we need people, but we need people that are properly brought into this country.
Either that, or
we need people that some that need to be an asset.
Either that, or we need to do something.
We
need to do something
about
Dan. We need to do something about the birth rate in this country. Let's get it up. Let's start working on that tonight.
Excuse me. All right. Thank you, Dan. Thanks,
Dan.
You guys have a great one.
My God, I'm blushing. All right, we'll be right back.
Well, that's one way to solve the problem.
Upper right-hand corner.
Yeah,
Joe.
One of our emailers said, I recently received a check from being part of a class action lawsuit against Equifax. The check was for $5.31.
Oh, my God.
I don't think the plaintiffs in class action lawsuits make money.
Oh, that's not true. Some people do. Tobacco families, you know, families impacted by tobacco, they ended up getting paid out.
Must
plus
be a lot of people making
did.
Money on the Camp Lejeune issue, because I see so many ads on TV trying to find people to join one attorney or another in processing those claims.
I know a Volkswagen driver who was involved in that diesel thing where they said that the diesel chips were reset so that it would say that it wasn't emitting.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Where they got about $10,000.
Each?
Yes. Oh, no, for per car.
Oh, per car, okay.
But that's... But, of course, they had bought a $30,000 vehicle that was polluting. So, you know, you're still stuck with it.
Well,
that
did they have to make repairs, or did Volkswagen also make the repairs?
There was a recall that was part of it. But they would strongly encourage you to turn it in and sell it and buy a new one.
Of course they do.
And the Penn State students who were sexually abused by the coach, they got paid. Plus, they got tuition. Plus, they got all kinds of things.
Okay, well.
You know, so they not everybody gets $5 out of these things.
Some people get 10.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Dale, you've asked for 1 minute. Our policy is to provide 1 minute. I can't imagine that we're going to plow any new ground.
I want to put to rest the Jeffrey Epstein situation and Prince Andrew. Well, Jeffrey Epstein was a recruiter. What the recruiters do, they take out people and fill their fantasies, you know. So basically, Jeffrey Epstein was there to recruit these billionaires, these filthy, dirty, rich people, and take their money, okay, for block route.
And Prince Andrews is not going to face any charges because all he was a handler for Jeffrey Epstein. And they killed Jeffrey, Trump and Prince Andrews because, you know, he was just running, he runs his mouth too much.
I thought the Clintons did it.
He's expensive.
I was thinking the Bar Association had a hand.
Oh, they had to have a hand. All right, thank you, Dale. Yep, good summary. That definitely sums up your previous call very nicely. Upper right-hand corner, Joe.
Why is it that this question is getting little attention or discussion?
Talking about student loan forgiveness.
Okay. What is the root cause of the high cost of college? Like most things the government does, they want to throw money at the back end of a problem. When the federal government makes millions of loans to college students, most without any assurance they'll be able to pay it back, what incentive does the college or school have to hold down costs? That's a good point. With the federal government paying the bills, there's no reason for the schools to change anything.
Yeah, the spokes on this wheel consist of the federal government handing out low-interest money and then, of course, talking about loan forgiveness, and they have a wide range of incentives. But the other spokes of the wheel involve colleges charging too much, plus the societal obligation that people are made to feel that you have to go to college in order to get a good job. And of course, as we pointed out yesterday, many tradespeople are making an excellent living around here these days. And the other spoke to this is that a lot of kids get out of high school and they don't want to join a career yet. So college is a blast. So if college were more academically rigorous and more focused and more intended to send you off in a direction, I mean, I go on the campus of Bucknell University and they have some ridiculously superlative career-driven, forward-thinking students there that are working tremendously hard to end up with 4 years of real knowledge and learning. But then you see this on the same campus, another group of kids that are there to
party.
Have a blast. Okay, so
you got to fight for your right to party, man.
So yeah,
what
I
song was that? Who was that by? I forget.
But yeah, in answer to the email, I don't think colleges have taken that into account. I see nothing that's made tuition go down. We certainly have seen it go up.
Well, I mean, most colleges today, a minute a kid applies, they start putting together a package of economic support for the student, don't they? I mean, does anybody go to
financial
college
aid
today
is available.
Who doesn't get some kind of aid unless their
parents
are filthy rich?
But they're still charging $50,000 for room and board. Well, of course you need financial aid to afford that.
Yeah.
Right. They spike things up beyond recognition.
Well, you're right. The tuition is just the tip of the iceberg. There's books, which have become astronomically expensive.
Right. So, it's quite the racket. There aren't too many comparables that people voluntarily participate in that charges exceedingly too much and make you borrow for decades so that you can participate in it when you don't even need it.
Well, and it's difficult, too, between private schools, which tend to offer more personalized instruction and smaller class sizes in theory, where the student gets more personal attention from the teacher, as opposed to state universities, where there are larger numbers of people getting presumably less attention. You know, so at some point, you have to teach yourself.
Right. That's true. And if you have a focused student that is interested in a career and is going to be really academically oriented and sort of a focused student, they can excel in a party atmosphere and likewise in a party atmosphere in a highly significantly academically oriented school, career oriented school. Somebody who's unfocused could fail.
It depends on the kid, don't you think? A kid who really wants to amount to something, who sees some value in an education, as opposed to a kid who's, you know, lived an entitled life and who just goes there because that's what's expected and I'll go through and get what they used to call a gentleman sees. You know that your parents are well off. You've paid to come here. We're going to see that you get at least a C.
Maybe it's the parents. Well, a lot of parents don't pay for tuition. That's part of it too. A lot of parents said, "Well, I'm not sending you to college.
Well,
I didn't go to college."
But then bear in mind the parents who were caught up in that scandal out in California and other places where they paid exorbitant amounts of money to have
Lisa
their kid.
Lohan. Yeah, she's back in Hallmark movies. Fortunately,
is she? Well,
yes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad she made out all right.
Or they just showed an old one. I'm not sure which it was, but yeah, I just saw her on TV.
I mean, just the whole idea of we're going to pay to get our kid into a good college. I mean, that kind of buggers the whole system, really.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. I want to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company because it is a family-owned dealership. You didn't know family had six syllables, but it does. Family-owned dealership since 1915. Two locations, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. They are looking for some more staffers. So SMC stands for Staffing More Needed. And that is an opportunity for you to...
I'm sorry, needed doesn't start with a C.
What does SMC stand for when it comes to help
wanted? Staffing More Citizens.
Okay, there you go. So they're looking for folks who want to be citizens of the U.S. and want to work for the Sunbury Motor Company's various locations. 107-year-old dealership, and they are looking for... Actually, the openings now are pretty much across the board. Quick Lane Car and Light Truck Service, Heavy Duty Truck Service, the Body Shop, the Frame and Alignment Shop, the Towing Department, and of course my favorite place to visit, the Nitrogen Department, and they will pump you up as an employee. They're looking for folks who are experienced technicians, entry-level technicians, looking for your first job or just doing a career change. They'd love to hear from you. Stop by in person or apply online at sunburymotors.com. Call Todd at 570-286-7746. Tell him Joe McGranahan tell you there that you could go to get a job as the nitrogen operator at the Sunbury Motor Company.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Are you okay? Sometimes you characterize things in a very amusing way.
Okay.
And that's all I'll say about it.
Making. Yeah, we'll leave that
Yes, all right. That's better left there.
Right. If anybody wants to be a speedy dialer, now's the time to do so. 1-800-795-9565. Please only call in with legitimate political discourse. We don't need any rabble-rousing or rioting taking place here.
And but bear in mind that the federal government does not permit us to have the Bar Association insulted here more than once a day.
Right. We do have the CIA here watching us, though.
Yes, so they do. I find the guy standing back here in the corner with the gun a little disconcerting. But
does he have to clean it every day?
I don't know.
That's bad. You can email
us.
It's
when he starts waving it around when one of us makes a point he doesn't
the
like
gun,
that
right?
bothers me. Yes.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. You can email
us.
He keeps
saying we're all pigeons. I don't understand.
He's got to shoot the pigeons. 1-800-795-9565. You can text us at 70236. I just walked Joe through checking the text messages, and I guarantee you when he comes in on Monday morning, he will not know how to do it.
I will not remember.
All right.
One of our emailers said, yesterday I asked why did the January 6th committee leak Social Security numbers of Trump officials like Ben Carson, Kayleigh McEnany, etc. You both said you hadn't heard about that. I have heard both Carson and McEnany on tape telling the press, but of course the story is being suppressed by the mainstream media because it reveals the real purpose of the January 6th committee to get Trump and punish his supporters, not to investigate the breaching of the Capitol. This action is so egregious and based on pure spite. Anyone who respects this committee as honest and serious has to have their head up you know where. Gee.
Yeah, and this is funny. And, you know, usually I would defend Democrats and say, well, this is a bipartisan dilemma. Everybody's leaking. But this is a classic... easily solved dilemma that only some Democrats did. Now, no Republicans were actually on the committee, so or no
Republicans.
Yeah, no real ones. So, yeah, this is 100% Democratic dilemma. I Lawrence is worthless for you. Cindy, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
I meant to say the gracious good morning, gentlemen. I meant to say the other day that last week one of the frequent callers, and I honestly don't remember his name, but one of the callers called in and used many of the banished words in his comment, which I did not realize until near the end. So he said, irregardless, it is what it is. He used a bunch of those words, and I started laughing. And I just want to say to him, kudos, well done. And he just spoke, and I thought, well done, you know. In fact, I think he's the GOAT, because that was the greatest of all time, which is also on that list. So... Well done. To call in and challenge yourself to make your comment using those 10 words.
Merriam-Webster's banished words this year. Not Merriam-Webster.
It was a university, and a university no one's ever heard of. He's desperately seeking attention by banishing words. But it was pretty clever, I thought. His comment was brilliant.
Inflection point.
Might have been on Thursday.
Yeah, inflection point. Quiet quitting. Gaslighting. Moving forward. Amazing. Does that make sense? And irregardless.
Irregardless. One of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a biggie, irregardless. You hear that all the time from some pretty smart people.
But the word should just be regardless.
Right. Right. No,
well,
I get it.
Well, this begs the question. You know, language is forever morphing. The bard was credited with inventing 4,700 words himself. So why can't that be a word? If it becomes ubiquitous, if everyone's using this, whether the language police like it or not, does it not become a part of our lexicon? Does it not become part of speech?
Sure, like ain't.
Yeah, I was going to say, look how long it took for ain't to be recognized.
Yeah, which is there are many words like that.
Which is a contraction of nothing that we know of.
Right. Am not. I thought it was am not.
Our language can't be static because there's so much change. New things are invented. iPhone. There was no iPhone when I was a kid. There was no iPhone when I was a young adult, right? Now there is. There's many things like that that we have to have room for ability for our language to morph and to adopt new words, whether people like them or not.
Well, it's like the word gaslighting. People use that now anytime you're trying to fool somebody. But that's not what gaslighting refers to. It refers to slowly changing something so they don't notice it.
I don't know. I'm old enough that I remember gaslighting.
Oh, yeah, but that's another topic.
Well, I don't even understand that term, gaslighting. When they say, oh, you know, Cindy's gaslighting, I don't even know what they're accusing me of doing. I don't understand.
I think it's deceiving. Deceiving through, it's almost like sophistry, I gather. You know, deceiving somebody with cleverly deceptive reasoning. I may be wrong in that.
Oh, like a barker at a carnival.
But originally, it stems from a movie, maybe not by the same title, but a Hitchcock movie where...
Called Gaslight.
Right, where somebody was turning down the lights in a room slowly and trying to drive the person crazy. They would say, why are the lights so low? And people would tell this person they were trying to drive crazy that it wasn't. Everything was normal. And then they turn them down farther. So they slowly changed them, but they fooled them over time. Sort of like Dan was talking about socialism creeping in. You know, we're being gaslighted by literally gaslighted by the Democrats into being more socialist because they sneak these things in slowly. I mean, that was his point.
Insidiousness.
Clearly a large population in our country who wants most of their lives to derive through the government rather than being able to make their own choices, to earn their own things, to buy the car they want to have, to own a house that they like. You know, they want to acquiesce to that. They
right,
want
but that's
to surrender.
Their choice.
You know, it was so funny because we were discussing this at Christmas, and my son-in-law said, well, I'd like it. I said, would you want me to make all your decisions? And he goes, I'd love it if you'd make the decisions. And my daughter immediately responded to him, no, you wouldn't, because she only goes to Disney World every 3 years, and he looked flabbergasted.
She's got to go more often.
They go 3 times a year, by contrast. So this would be a good example. So if I were to be the decider, I would impose a limit of once every 3 years where people want to go 3 times a year. And who am I to make that choice?
You're the mother-in-law.
It's
that's
not
who you
my
are.
Choice to make.
Well,
but
other,
don't come ask me to pay for your groceries because you spent them all at Disney.
The other question is, are people demanding socialism or is the government imposing it? You know, I think people are demanding. I think government's just keeping up. Okay.
Both.
Thanks, Cindy.
Okay,
appreciate your call.
Gentlemen. Have a good one.
You too.
You too. Thank you so much.
I'll see you Monday, man.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.